Welcome back. Another week. 2 weeks left in the regular season. We already in the thick of a playoff chase. It's 2 Minute Drill. Pierce and Scott. Joe will be joining us in just a bit. Before we talk about the week in a whole,
allegedly.
So like the
premature. Yes, I'm ready to drink some Bears Kool-Aid if you're trying to drink.
Exactly. Exactly. Let's just get that out the way. Because nobody asked for it. Literally nobody on the fucking world asked for the Bears to still be in the hunt on the in the hunt graphic. But they wound up winning their last two, and then things broke their way. I was still holding out hope that Jalen Hurts could win that game on Sunday in Arizona, and we would have had an opportunity to clinch on Sunday. Boy put up some fight, but it is what it is. Now, you're looking at the Bears. All they got to do is win out, and there's some things that could break their way, the other teams that could fall out, but the easiest would be Arizona just lose one of the next two. And I guess the more you go through scenarios in the head, the more you start to believe that the Bears will actually make the playoffs. And it sickens me. It sickens me to my stomach, but I'm here for it.
I mean, at this point, I think we said this on Sunday Night the Howlers, was like, if you look at every year that the Bears have been in, you know, scenario mode, it never works out for us. Something never. Stupid always happens at the end of it. So this time, I don't think there's going to be anything stupid that's going to happen. I just got a feeling that I think – of course, I got my tweet up that says the scenario about us losing to Jordan Love at home, which I will bring back if it happens. But I just think, wouldn't it be the most 2020-ass shit of all time for the Bears to start 5-1, lose 6 in a row, finish the season with 4 straight wins to make the playoffs? That's the most 2020-ass shit ever. I mean, that's the perfect way to end it.
And not only that, make the playoffs in the NFC, that's possible. That's possible. Because in the NFC, all you got is one and a possible. And the Bears could be that possible.
Yep. And there's also, you got one thing that's going to be good, though, going into Sunday. We already know what the situation is because Arizona plays on Saturday.
Yeah. So you can,
Arizona plays on Saturday.
So you can already know, hey, we went out. We control our own destiny. I saw a scenario where if the Bucks lose out and all the other teams, Rams, Bears, Cardinals, went out, Bears would be the 5 seed, even though we lost to the Rams and the Bucks would be out. I seen a scenario where the Rams are out of the playoffs, even though we beat the Rams and we're in. It's just...
We have a lot of scenarios, man. A lot of scenarios going on. Karnacki broke it down pretty good on Sunday Night Football. Man, I really enjoy him being on there. Like, makes it seem like, you know, it's
I don't love him. I don't love him on the presidential coverage. I'm a John King dude. But, yeah, Karnacki on the NFL is just interesting. Like, yeah, here's this news dude coming over to do sports. It's pretty kind of fucking cool. But, like, we do this every year with the Bears, but this is actually a year where, as much as we were talking about, hey, we got to tank out, we got to get the best pick possible, and we got to fire everybody, it might wind up being a positive that the Bears make the playoffs. And it might not mean that this person stays. I think Nagy's staying regardless, no matter what. I think Nagy's keeping
the job. You're 100% sure Nagy's staying?
I'm 100% sure Nagy's staying. I'm
like 85% sure.
I think Pace is 50-50 depending on how things go. I think his odds go up if he make the playoffs. I think he's dead in the water if they don't. But I don't think making the playoffs is going to hurt the Bears this season. I think it would be a big boost to their confidence going into the next season. Because this team was dead in the fucking water 2 weeks ago. And I know, like, yes, look at the teams that they played. They're not an impressive team. Neither will be Jacksonville, and neither will be the Packers if they clinch a home field this upcoming week. But, you know, for the dudes in the locker room who have been through the most this year, I think that's a big boost to them and proof that, hey, man, if we just stay on it, we could be a Super Bowl contender. This year might have gone our way. Last year might not have gone our way. There's some things that we got to fix, but the foundation's there.
I mean, I kind of feel like this, man. I feel like these next couple of weeks are probably the most important in the Bears franchise in a long time.
Very long time.
The only thing that saves Ryan Pace is an NFC Championship appearance. I don't think making the playoffs is going to cut it. I don't even think winning one playoff, one wild card game is going to cut it. Nah. I think he dead man walking. Matt Nagy has a lot more leeway because you can he can look at stuff like, why
we had our largest. To Nagy, or gave the play call.
I gave the play with the laser.
Everything's working out now. Look at the line. Yeah. The line's good. Everything's moving.
It snapped our longest loser streak since 2002. I got Mitch looking good, you know, and we made the playoffs. And of course, on top of that, he has two more years left on his deal. So I could see him, at the very least, they'll tell the new GM, you decide what you want to do with him. Unless something major happens, like, oh, all of a sudden the Bears are going to the Dome for the NFC Championship game, I don't think anything's saving Ryan Pace.
I'm going to be honest with you, man. If the Saints are the second seed and the Bears are the seventh, I ain't scared of Drew Brees.
With in a crowdless dome,
in a wild card playoff game, I ain't scared of Drew Brees. Hell no,
it's the Bears.
It is the Bears, but you saw Drew Brees this past week against the Chiefs. He's not healthy. He shouldn't be playing. Okay, Drew Brees should have retired last offseason. He doesn't have it, but he's even worse with the it's even worse with the rib injury.
Yeah.
The niggas out there every fucking drive
hard as shit
because he can't fucking breathe because his bones is crushing in the windpipe. They hung in with the Chiefs, big whoopty fucking dude. But Bears play Saints in the playoffs. I could easily see them moving on to go play Green Bay.
What they say on Endgame? Don't get my hopes up. I'm just taking this one game at a time, man. As we saw, and this is the thing about the Bears. I think you tweeted this on Sunday. I was like, do I think we're going to beat the shit out of Jacksonville? Yes, I do. Is it out of the realm of possibility for us to lose these niggas? No, it is not. That would be the most Bear shit I've ever seen in my life. Listen, on top of that, we just saw the Jets beat the Rams. Oh, we just saw the Bengals beat the Steelers with a third-string quarterback.
It said something like the last time that two teams with spreads over two touchdowns or favored by two touchdowns lost in the same week. Last time that happened, it was like 1967. So, weird shit is happening. And by the way, Andrew Siciliano, this is my first year with you on DirecTV Red Zone. I really like you. I think you a funny cat. But if you ever again say that, hey, the Jacksonville Jaguars might be the Chicago Bears this week, I will cancel in week 17 and immediately jump back to Chris Hansen. I will fly back into Chris Hansen's arms if you do that shit one more goddamn time. Killing me, man.
Look. Enjoy the ride, Bears fans. Like I said, get on the. Everybody's wondering what's gonna happen. I don't know what the fuck is gonna happen. It's the fucking Bears, man. I just know we're gonna have watchable football for the next 2 weeks. Might even be longer. And the reason I didn't care about draft picks because we weren't bad enough to get close enough to where a quarterback that could realistically change our franchise would even be available to us. So that I don't really care about. And let's just say, if it does save Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy, if we make it to the NFC Championship, that's what we wanted, right? We wanted progress. So why the fuck would I be mad at that? That's the part I don't understand about fans. Because right. I don't know about y'all. I don't want another rebuild. I understand why people think it's necessary. I think it's probably necessary, too. I don't want to watch 3-1 football for the next 2-3 years. I'm sorry.
The only sport where a rebuild is fun to watch is baseball. As excruciating as it is, it's fun to watch young kids in baseball go out there and perform and prove that they're stars. In basketball, it can take you at minimum 5 years of a rebuild to get back into the postseason or to actually be good. Football, you have a chance of might get to 7-9 this season and show that you're good, but there's variables in that. And there's variables that could prove that a 3-13 team might get some luck and get to 7-9, but there's still a 3-13 team. And so the Bears are what they
are. I don't think you remember how terrible it was to watch these niggas in 2015 and 2016.
It's hard to
It's hard because it's every Sunday.
Yesterday.
Yeah.
Like maybe niggas weren't watching because I damn sure weren't watching. But like,
I gave up 2016. I gave up. We went through all that losing.
I gave up like after the first fucking game because the second game was Eagles on Monday night. I was at work, didn't watch it. And I think the next game they got blown out by Seahawks. I was like, oh, that's a good season.
Yeah, I just don't want to go through that again, man. So if we get to the playoffs, I'm with it, man. I'm with it. I understand. I'm not mad at fans who don't want to make it. I get it. I'm not mad at you. But I just remember how hard it was to watch terrible football on a fucking weekly basis, like where you just outmatched every week.
Right. And you're miserable watching football. Like, I don't want to be miserable watching my favorite team.
And the thing, but it's not like basketball. You know, basketball and baseball, if your team's bad, they playing every other day, you can kind of tune them niggas out.
Yeah. Football. When it's football,
everybody jazzed up to see their team next and every week, and you sitting there like, here the fuck we go again.
That's why I get like the most irritable about the Bears. Like, I don't really get worked up over the Cubs, you know, and I don't think I can ever get truly worked up over the Cubs ever again because they gave me the greatest moment of my life. The Bulls, when the Bulls are bad, whatever. Who cares? They gave me six championships. When they're good, they can piss me off. But like every week, week in, week out, whether you're terrible, whether you're promising, whether you're good, whether you're just on, and I don't care, I still get upset. And that's just because it's week to week. Every week's week to week. And I don't blame anyone for thinking that they should just shut down shop and fire everybody 2 weeks ago. I was on that hill. You're cool. Get your ass back on the wagon, you know, loser. We're going to Soldier Field so we can go cheer on these fuckers for the next 2 weeks. Because it's what we do, man. I do want to talk about the game that we kind of just mentioned, but I figured we could do that in a little bit because I guess the biggest story would be Adam Gase is an asshole.
He's an asshole. If you're a Jet fan, like, how do you feel right now? Like, it's gotta
you know
be,
how
like,
Jet
you
fans feel.
You literally no want a meaningless fucking game. Like, what was the point?
What was the reason? What was the reason?
What was the reason?
Unfortunately, I don't have that one.
Yeah, I'm about to say, what happened to the soundbar this year?
No, we still got it. I just barely use it because I'm trying to do other shit. Plus, I don't even have Farrago open. But, yeah, man, like, listen, Justin Fields is going to be decent. I think he has some issues. They can clearly be worked out. But there's a big drop-off when you go from Trevor Lawrence to Justin Fields in terms of talent, in terms of NFL promise, in terms of protecting the ball, in terms of leading your offense. That's the guy that you want. And I know you had kind of chimed in like, okay, is it the best weekend of Trevor Lawrence's life? Because he beat Notre Dame last week, got the comeuppance, and then he finds out he ain't got to go to the Jets. And I say, hell yeah, it's the best weekend of Trevor Lawrence's life.
And you really think that the Jaguars are a model franchise?
That's not what I said. I said it's the best weekend of his life. First off, and which I think is the most important thing, if you're Trevor Lawrence, in what team that you go to or what team has a number one pick, no state tax in Florida.
It's Jacksonville, though. It's not like it's Miami.
No state tax in Florida. You're getting your money. Secondly, you gotta chime in. Shit, nigga. Niggas
go ahead,
are talking.
Go ahead, do your thing, man.
Secondly, he's from Georgia, went to high school in Georgia, so he's not too far out from Jacksonville. His family's gonna be right there. He's gonna be comfortable. Third, it's gonna be a lot less nerves in Jacksonville than it is as the quarterback of the New York Jets. It's a lot different than being the quarterback of the Giants because the Jets are sorry. And when they're sorry, they're most talked about. When they're good, they're the most talked about thing in New York football. I don't ever think the Giants, unless they go into the Super Bowl, are more talked about than the Jets. So why the fuck would I want that if I was Trevor Lawrence? I think he can wind up in the perfect spot if Jacksonville loses out, which they should, because you know, why, if you're Jacksonville, why the fuck would you show up to play on Sunday? You know, you might as well just, hey, sit anybody. Some dude's coughing. Sit your ass down.
Didn't they say they're going to play like they third stringer? Like, I don't even think.
That's cool with me.
Minshew's playing this week.
That's cool. Actually, no, because if Mike Glennon has a revenge game, I'm going to go off.
Nah, third string. Mike Glennon's second.
No, I was saying, no. I was going to say, like, start Mike Glennon, but I don't want Mike Glennon to have a revenge game. Yeah, I think Jake Luton is their third. So go ahead and start Jake Luton. But that's a massive, colossal failure for the Jets. But hey, it's humor for us, man, because we love laughing at the Jets.
Everybody loves Laughing Jack. Shout what? Out to homie Mike, man.
Man, hey, on if we had to pick a top three in all of sports, teams that we love to laugh at,
who are the number top one three? Is the Knicks.
Number one with the bullet is the New York Knicks.
The New York Knicks are the far the New York Knicks.
Are the gift that keeps on giving. I feel like I can't put the Clippers in that scenario. Like, while it is fun to watch the Clippers fold, it's the Clippers. They suck. They're supposed to fold.
Yeah, that's Clippers tradition.
Right.
But I just don't like Lakers fans.
I got a good one. Houston Rockets.
I think it's more James Harden than the Houston Rockets, but yes.
Fair. I mean, Dwight added to that when Dwight was on the team.
Good point.
Yeah.
Good point. I'm trying to think who else. Cowboys.
The Cowboys is a very fun team to lose. They might be number two just because they are like the aura of the Cowboys.
Yeah. That's a really good point. Yeah. But Knicks are number one. I don't have more fun making fun of a fan base more than I do Knicks fans. And the reason, I don't even know why. Because, like I said, Knicks fans are us. We're the same people. Like, honestly.
It's like making fun of myself. I still feel like that's egregious, man. I still feel like
you're going too far. It's really not.
You're going.
It's really not. We are the Knicks of football.
You're going too goddamn far now.
There's a soundboard. You're going too goddamn far. I know I hate to be the I hate when people big up the tradition of Chicago Bears because it's like, what fucking tradition have you had in the last 35 years? Yeah. But the Knicks have nothing. The Knicks before those two championships they won in the 70s were the equivalent to the Miami Marlins, basically.
I mean, if you're talking about what I mean by with a Knick, I'm talking about of recent, like in the last 30 years. I'm not talking about like franchise.
I
tell you,
it's just like, it's. I take offense to it. As an ardent Knick hater, I take offense to it.
But it's true. It's true. Even look at the fan bases. Both fan bases are loyal and delusional. They fill up Madison Square Garden no matter how bad their fucking football, basketball team is. We fill up Soldier Field no matter how fucking bad their football team is. So we the same people. Yeah, every year we try to convince ourselves it's going to be a different year than it was before. And it's not. It's never has been. Ever. They get hung up on the 2013 Knicks who won 54 games and lost in the second round. We get hung up.
Hashtag Knicks take.
Yeah. We get hung up on the 2018 Bears. It's the same shit.
Yeah. 2020, 2006. Anyway.
2006 was the flash in the pan. It's like when they went to the finals in 99.
Okay, you're making some points that I can't argue with. I gotta turn the conversation away. But yeah, sorry for the Jets. That sucks. Chiefs went into the dome. They beat the Saints. Chiefs on a fast track to the number one seed. I think they locked up the number one seed actually. With their next win, they will. And that's in part due to the Steelers just absolutely blowing it in Cincinnati. And I think that adds to the theory that not only is the big criminal washed, that team is fraudulent. It's very fraudulent.
I'm sorry, I zoned out for a second. What were you saying? What team were you talking about?
Talking about the Steelers.
The Steelers. Okay, so first of all, I did not watch this football game. I want to get that out right away right now. I saw the fucking schedule. I saw the schedule, and I saw the Monday Night Football with Steelers Bengals. I'm like, I'm gonna rewatch The Mandalorian again. I'm not watching that bullshit. Like, there's no point. I thought the Steelers was going
to
whoop their ass.
Speaking of, I mean to interject. Did you realize this week that there's a lot of men between the ages of 30 and 50, grown men, that really love Luke Skywalker?
I mean, Luke Skywalker's in a lot of niggas' childhoods.
I mean, but like, yo.
A lot of niggas' childhoods.
You would think that nigga is Michael Jackson.
To a lot of niggas, he is.
It's crazy.
To a lot of niggas, he is.
It was eye-opening. And it opened my eyes to some things about those kind of people. But yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
About pop culture. But yeah, I just feel like, you know, the Steelers, I didn't think there was any way they was going to lose this game. Just kind of like even when I was watching Rams and Jets, I'm like, okay, yeah, the Jets are winning. They're controlling the whole game. But there's no point in me actually, no part of me actually believe that the Rams are going to lose the game. But the bigger picture that we're seeing here about the Pittsburgh Steelers is something that everybody on this podcast has been saying literally all fucking season. They're imposters. They're imposters. They're the only team that started 11, though. They might not win the division.
I realized that earlier. I'm like, you know, do the Ravens
the still window have a shot? Is no, still open.
It's the Browns.
Well, the Cleveland Browns.
The How Cleveland much, fucking Browns. The Cleveland Browns.
Imagine starting 11-0, not winning division, and letting the Cleveland Browns. When's the last time Cleveland Browns ever won? If I can't ever.
That's a very good question.
Then winning division. Did they even win a division during the Belichick years?
No, I don't think they did.
Exactly.
Cleveland Browns. Let's look up the last time the Cleveland Browns, as a staff, as a record label, and as a crew, won themselves a division title. It was 1989 when they last won the AFC Central. They've made two playoff appearances since 1990.
That's
so this would be the third.
If you wanted that now you would have should have taken disrespect if I'd have said we're the same as the Browns.
I have said that before. I said
we were the Knicks AFC is where you draw the line?
Yes, man.
The Knicks are a more successful franchise than the damn Browns.
That's by way of being from New York and not being from Cleveland, sir. Would you rather root for a team from New York or a team from Cleveland?
I'd rather root for a team from New York.
Exactly.
I was just saying, that's the Knicks much is where you draw the line, but not the Browns. Cleveland
folks.
The Browns are the Lions level.
Listen, the Dolans both own teams in both cities, so they're both shit, okay? It's all shit. yeah, man. Speaking of Cleveland, I wouldn't be shocked if Cleveland. I think no matter what if Pittsburgh wins or loses, as long as the Browns win this upcoming week, that sets up a division showdown week 17. I could see the
Browns. Who the Browns play this week?
Let us see. I will tell you who both of those teams play.
I think the Steelers play Indiana.
The Browns are in New York playing the Jets. I don't want to say that's a W because we've seen what happened, but like, yo,
and I feel motivated. Like that Giants game is a little bit too close for comfort for them too.
They're motivated. The Steelers are playing. Oh, Steelers are hosting Indianapolis. There's a shot that the Browns could win.
There's a shot there.
The AFC North. That's wild. And they're at home too. I can't believe I'm sitting here like, oh, I'm believing in Baker Mayfield. That's without Odell Beckham. But, I mean, it's not necessarily Baker Mayfield, but I believe in Kevin Stefanski and what he's doing with that offense, what he's doing with both of the running backs, Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. He's able to utilize the two of them to where Chubb has a lot of miles on him to just keep churning. And Hunt is a threat both in the receiving game and in the run game. Like,
I feel like we said this last week, and we need to say it again. Cleveland Browns, listen to us. Listen to us good.
That's the only thing we fucking have to say.
Cut Cody Parkey now. Okay?
Do it before it's too late.
Do it before it is. This is too much of a magical season for y'all. Y'all have won 10 games. Like we said, I've never in my time as a football fan ever seen the fucking Browns even get on the same block.
The Browns fans are just happy to be here.
Yeah.
They're just excited to be in the conversation for once. Don't do this to yourself.
As people who know what a fun season looks like, it can be taken away from you like that in one fell swoop. So do what you can.
You say we know what fun seasons are like?
I was referencing 2018.
Yeah, I know.
Everything was on the up and up.
2018. What happened in 2018? You mean when Cody Parkey?
When Cody fucking Parkey.
Everybody collectively around America
had me walking down Merrill's Boulevard for 40 fucking minutes, looking like my dog just got shot in front of me. So I'm telling you, Browns fans, it's been a good year. Y'all ain't got nothing else to look forward to. The Cleveland Cavaliers suck. The Cleveland baseball team will still have that racist-ass name
for another year.
That's that racist
and they won't have their shortstop.
Right, and they're not going to have their best player on the team.
Whoa. I think their best player is still on their team.
Who?
The AL Cy Young Award winner, my friend.
Oh, you talking about Shane Bieber?
Shane Bieber, the second greatest.
I'm not. Bieber got his ass lit up in the playoffs. I'm gonna still give it to Frankie. I'm still giving it to Frankie, man. I got to see a little more of Bieber.
Hey, it was the Yankees.
Man. I'm going to give it to Yankees. Either way, and don't let this Brown season be forgotten. And it's in a pandemic year. So if y'all don't do nothing, we really going to forget what the fuck y'all did. So I'm telling you, cut Cody Parkey. At the very least, go for 2 points on every touchdown. Yeah. But cut that nigga. Points add up, bro. I'm telling you. Don't do it.
It really does, and especially in the playoffs. Like, look at the 16-15 was that final score? They left 3 points on the board. They left touchdowns on the board.
16-15, yeah.
You know, yeah. Get as many much as you can possible. And Cody Parkey is going to leave you some points on the board, and you're going to be hating yourself. I don't want to talk about Cardinals and Eagles, but I do want to talk about the broadcast. Because my man...
Can we shout out the GOAT?
My man, Aqib Talib, was the funniest thing about Red Zone last week.
Yes.
And I think that, like, that's why both Hanson and Siciliano kept going back to that. I mean, the game was interesting. It was particularly interesting. But I think that's exactly why they kept going back to that game. Because it felt like listening to Aqib Talib was like me at home calling my own games on Madden.
Right.
Just man, you know, just cliches out the ass. Man, this is the most crucial point in the game. You just gotta go out and get in y'all. Give it y'all. And he was a wonderful joy, man. And I think he got some shit from people who want him to be a white sportscaster, and he's not. And yeah. I think that's kind of the thing that, you know, you like about him. He ain't finna give you the old razzle dazzle like a fucking Mark Schlereth is gonna give you. He gonna be a Aqib Talib. That's all I ask for him to be, is a Aqib Talib.
I mean, I love what Talib did. He really talked like, you know, like you said, like you comment the game by yourself when you play Madden. I just think he was true to himself, man. That's what we run to see from all these reporters. Instead of just being, you know, corny, trying to sound like you've been doing media for all these years, just be yourself. There was even points in that we was talking about when he was going in on the Texans. It's like, yeah, and that's why Bill O'Brien's fired. Like, you wouldn't hear that from a regular announcer. So I just feel like it was real cool to see, and I think that, you know, Fox got something going there with him, so mm-hmm. I enjoyed that for sure.
It was a couple times when he was actually putting you into the mind of a cornerback and what a quarterback's probably thinking at that point in time, and who he even said that he studied, and who I've heard certain people kind of compare him to, not on the level of, obviously, but just in terms of how they approach commentating on the game is... He got a lot of Tony Romo comparisons, yeah. And it's very clear he's not Tony Romo.
No,
but
Romo's true to himself though.
Exactly, and Romo's gonna call the game from an aspect of a player. He's not trying to go out there and give you jargon or whatever. I do think he was relying a little bit too much on some cliches. That's some shit that you're gonna work out once you do it a little bit more. But you know, talk to me as somebody that's played the game. Talk to me as somebody that, you know, you can put me in the mind of what that person's thinking at that point in time. And then, you know, don't try to fucking be a robot. That's all we ask from you. Because when we got to listen to fucking Greg Jennings and like, yo, Greg Jennings, I'm like, yo, I'm going to call it what it is. I hate getting Greg Jennings games.
Is he worse than Jonathan Vilma? Jonathan Vilma's terrible.
Terrible. Terrible. Those Jonathan are the two worst.
Vilma is Chris Webber level of that.
Those are the two worst on Fox. That you know when the Bears got that game, yeah, it's a Red Zone game.
Vilma and
you hear Kenny Albert and Dick Stockton.
Yeah, I was about to say Dick Stockton.
Getting everybody's name wrong, bro. Oh my goodness. But yeah, shout out to Aqib Talib, man. It's gonna get a wave of more black football players in that booth, and I think we especially need more of them in the booth. Where should we go next? How about we go to my favorite division? My very favorite division. The NFC East. Defund the NFC East. Do you really believe that the Cowboys can make the playoffs?
No.
Because they have a shot.
They have a shot.
They went out, Washington loses out. They're in.
Hold on. That's all they have to do?
If the Cowboys win out, Washington loses out. Okay, so who do the Cowboys
play? I want to know who does the Cowboys play and who does Washington play?
Well, I think every team has a shot. Even the Eagles still have a shot. But the Cowboys this week, they take on the Eagles. So that's an eliminator. Washington takes on Carolina. The Giants are in Baltimore. And in week 17, obviously, it's division matchups. You'll get Washington and Philly. And then the Cowboys, I think, go to New York to play the Giants. That whole division is just a clusterfuck of terrible.
See, this is what I'm saying. It's like there's a shot. And with the NFC East, NFC least, nothing would surprise me.
But wasn't it wild, like 2 weeks ago, these niggas were 5-9 and like we're staring at Andy Dalton like, yeah, the Cowboys are terrible. They might as well get the best pick possible. And here they are.
I wish the Bears were in the NFC East. We had this shit locked up a couple
Why
weeks
aren't
ago.
We? I'm gonna be honest with you, man. Washington don't need to be there.
Why don't they? They're on the East Coast.
They can be somewhere else. Why they could be in the NFC South?
You can't put Washington
put them,
D.C.
Put them niggas in the AFC.
In the NFC South, dog.
Put them niggas in the AFC. I don't care, man. Oh, man. Get them niggas out of here.
You can't do that.
I love to
the
be...
The Cowboys in the South. They, at least they played there.
Well, yeah, obviously. I think they should be the obvious one in the South, but because their biggest rivals, I think, are the Giants and the Eagles, they're never going to do it. I would love to be rivals with the Giants and the Eagles.
It's a legendary, quote-unquote legendary, and I say this with air quotes, division. So I don't think that there's no going to be no division alignment with that.
Right.
But the Bears, I wish they were in the NFC. We'd be wrapped up.
The sad thing is that division used to be even worse. Because guess who used to be in that division? The Arizona Cardinals.
That was a long time ago. When were the Cardinals in the East?
Before realignment. Because originally they were saying the Chicago / St. Louis Cardinals, they were in the NFC East when they were in St. Louis. And they moved out to Arizona. They never moved them to the West. So they stayed out there in the East. So basically every year the Cowboys would go to Arizona to play in that bacon-ass sun. And it would be 90% Cowboy fans. Because nobody gave a shit about the Cardinals. But yeah, division's still terrible. I'm still holding out hope for my 6-10 New York Giant division champion. They're going to have to lose this.
They got like a schedule from hell, though.
They got the Ravens and the Cowboys. So technically, they got to lose this week, win next week, and then just hope that Washington loses out. Hope Washington loses out and hope they... Oh, shit. So if Washington loses out, the Eagles win out. They would be usurped by the Eagles. So yeah, they got to win out. Damn. I guess my 6-10 division champion Giants... Is officially dead. R.I.P.
R.I.P.
R.I.P. Yeah, 7-9 ain't bad. Go out and do it at 7-9. Fuck it.
I want to give a shout out to our homie Mariano Bivens. He texted me this week. Let me tell you what he told me. This is how it's looking for Giants fans right now. And it should never, ever get this bad. He texted me, send us Mitch, bro. That was a tweet and text. And then I sent him back to Marlo. The price of the big brick just went up. Video.
Yo, how down bad do you have to be?
Right, exactly.
Asking for Mitchell Trubisky.
And by the way, you didn't give me an opinion on that. Do you think that Mitch has turned a corner? Or do you think
I think Mitch is growing with his confidence, and I think that's a big boost to how he goes out there and plays on the field. I think this is a very small sample size and the teams are shit, so we don't know for sure. But do I think Mitch looks a lot better than he did before the benching? Hell yeah. In all four of the games that he's played, he's looked really well. He's had, I would say, it keeps popping up my head because I keep thinking about the Green Bay game. In the Green Bay game, he had so many turnovers. Like, yeah, he's had some bad turnovers there. But I think the positives have outweighed the negatives with Mitch over the last four games.
I mean, even with this past week, I mean, yeah, he threw a bonehead interception.
I put that more on Nagy than I do on Mitch because, yes, he has to know that he can't make that throw, but Nagy also, or Nagy or Lazo, whoever it is, can't put him at position. They had a horrible play call on second down. I think it was a run play. It shouldn't have ever been called.
It was like a shotgun run play.
Right. It was a run out of gun when they should have just took a shot at the end zone. On second down. So that play happens. And then I think it was Allen Robinson and J.P. Holtz line up on the left side.
J.P. Holtz should not have been on the
J.P. Holtz is not a receiving tight end. Why the fuck is Cole Kmet not on the field? Where's
Jimmy
Graham?
You're using Cole Kmet. Using Jimmy Graham. There's no use for the man. Like, what are you doing?
And Holtz gets in the way. He doesn't know how to fucking run that route. And then he calls it an interception. So I put that more on coaching than I do on Mitch. Mitch has to know not to make that throw, but they need to know not to put him in that fucking position.
Okay, so this is what I see though. I think, you know how every year, especially last year, where Mitch kills weak teams. But I think the thing that kind of stood out to me against Minnesota was a couple things. One, Minnesota defensively was ranked 12 DVOA this year. That's number one. Number two,
they lost some guys. They
lost some guys. Granted,
they missed Anthony Barr on Sunday, which was a big mess for them.
Mike Zimmer is a good defensive schemer, and he's played Mitch. He knows Mitch very, very well.
Never beat Mitch though.
This is true, but it's you.
Oh, sorry. One time. This is his first game.
Okay, yeah, but I'm saying, but even during the times, what I mean is like it's not because Mitch was looking good. I think this is the first Viking game I've ever seen Mitch actually look good. Like every time we win, it's always because some other shit we were doing.
Week 17, 2018, I would say he looked really good in that
game. Yeah, but he didn't even have a touchdown in that game.
Okay, fair point.
So that like this is like he and it's more about what stood out to me about Mitch in these last couple weeks is more about how he looks. Like he doesn't look like he's thinking first. He's like it's all feeling the game confident. Now.
And he'll have good games.
He's had good games in the past, but he still had dumbass throws. I haven't really seen that many dumbass throws.
Right, he's kept the dumbass throws to a minimum. But I think they're getting him out of the pocket. They're getting him on the run. They're getting him open to making plays, so he can see the field better, and you can get some guys open for him. I think he alluded to that last week, talking to the media. He was kind of throwing. Nagging them under the bus, like, you know, how did it take so long for us to get me to doing what I want to do and listening to what I want to do here in this offense? Because this whole time we've been trying to get what Nagy wants to do with offense and what Nagy wants to do to what he feels is best for Mitch instead of just doing what's best for Mitch,
right?
Just right.
Do that period. Yeah.
Accentuating what his positives and what makes. What made him the second pick in the draft for some god awful reason? Because it's not what you're trying to make him into; it's what he is. So just, you know, accentuate the Paul Heyman. Paul Heyman would when he talks about ECW and how he ran ECW in '97 when Nitro was getting big and WWE is finally hitting the Attitude Era. He talked about ECW and the lack of a budget and the lack of. You know, the big pyrotechnics and, you know, the writing staff and all these things that they don't have that make them ECW and not WWE. And Paul Heyman said a wonderful thing. He said, what I'm going to do with this product is accentuate the positives, hide the negatives. There's a lot of negatives that we have here. Okay, you know, we don't have the best pyro. We don't have the best lighting. What are we going to do? We're going to give you the best wrestling. We're going to give you the best excitement, the most entertainment. We're going to give you just off-the-wall crazy shit. Accentuate the positives of the product, hide the negatives. And that's what the Bears need to do with Mitchell Trubisky. You know he doesn't read defenses well. So make running offenses easier for him in doing what he needs to do. And we see that. Like, yo,
Mitchell Trubisky whenever they get him on opposing defenses like Steve Urkel reads women.
Damn.
It is with. By the way, fuck Family Matters. This is random.
It's a terrible
show. You know we do random shit on Barbershop, but somebody like retweeted a video of Family Matters, and like Steve was a nerd for one scene, and this nigga take off his fucking glasses, put a fucking blazer on, all of a sudden he the coolest nigga on planet Earth.
Nigga's fucking Mario. Like,
Laura going. By the way, Laura was not cute. Let's get
Laura
this
was
out
not
the
it at
right
all.
Now.
They found the most by the way, basic.
Steve Urkel's actual girlfriend on the show, Myra, was bad. It was as hell. And you weren't about this bird.
Malcolm Jamal Warner was lucky. R.I.P. But yeah, no. Family Matters is a terrible fucking show. It was a fucking PSA. Never recommended to my black brothers and sisters who've never seen it. How do we get on Family? What the fuck are we talking about? Steve Urkel. Mitch reading defenses. Yeah, accentuate the positives, hide the negatives with Mitch, man. You know he doesn't know how to read defenses. Like, when they are able to get him out of the pocket and he fluidly is able to find Darnell Mooney, who, thank God they're using him more because that dude...
Darnell Mooney is single-handedly sending Anthony Miller to the unemployment line.
Get your ass out of here, man. I ain't seen Anthony Miller in a minute. Cole Kmet. He's using Cole Kmet more and he's able to find Cole Kmet. Like, they're getting a nice little rapport and I feel like that might have been something we could have seen earlier had Mitch stayed in the lineup and not Foles, but it is what it is.
Apologize on 79th Dallas. I was championing Foles all offseason, even when he's playing. I admitted I was wrong. I said it. I was like, all you Trubisky truthers want me to hear me say it. I'm going to say it. They should have never benched.
That's another thing I want to talk about. Can I talk about that real quick?
Go ahead.
I think it's perfect. I think it's so easy. It's so simple to hope the best for Mitch, wish that he succeeds, no matter if it's here with the Bears in this season or when he leaves, wish the best for him, to like Mitch, and then also be real about who he is and his trajectory and what he has been and who he can be in this offense for us. And we're seeing his truthers do a victory lap now that he got benched, came back, and won two games against the fucking Texans and the Vikings. Like, how pathetic is that? But also, like, people act like you can't love Mitch and enjoy watching Mitch play and, like, want Mitch to run this offense well and not be critical of him when he does dumb shit. It's possible that you could do both. And I need people to understand that you can do both with Mitch. It's not one or the other. There is no gray area with Mitch. It's been four fucking years. The gray area is been long gone. We know what he is. So let's, you know, for while we have him, hope that he does the best job that he can. And then let's not sugarcoat it and try to act like, oh, we see they're finally getting Mitch working. Nah, nah, nah. Mitch is who we thought he was. No, no. Mitch Trubisky is a bottom 16 quarterback in this league. He is who he is.
Yes, and also what you got to understand is I want Mitch to be good. I just have eyes. and also I see Trubisky truthers going on fucking victory laps off of three games. Relax yourself. Give me a whole season of this, Mitch, before y'all go on y'all victory laps. At that point, I'll let y'all talk. Do what y'all do. Y'all, I'm glad I was wrong. But it's just like, let's wait. Let's wait and
Chicago
see.
Chicago loves the backup quarterback, man. They love the quarterback with adversity. Air quotes, adversity. It's sick. It's sickening. Colts looked really good on Sunday, last Sunday. Beat up on the Texans again. They got a little bit of a tough schedule coming up because week 16, they got the Steelers in Pittsburgh. Jaguars, here's what it is. They're going to tank. We know that. I know you don't buy Phillip Rivers, but around him, I think they got some decent pieces to where next year they might be able to compete. I'm trying to, I want to put this forth this to you. I'm thinking on both. Actually, I want to bring the Steelers into this too, because I don't think Ben is playing next season. What I saw from Ben on Monday, I think that nigga's done. Specifically bringing those two teams and not the Saints, because I think the Saints have cap problems that will make it hard for them to figure out their quarterback situation if Breeze leave. But with the Steelers and the Colts, I'm going to put forth the names of two quarterbacks. One I think you obviously say is mid. The other I want to get your intrigue on. Okay. I think one of those two quarterbacks, even both of them, can end up on one of those two teams and elevate them. First quarterback, and this is the one I think that you'll totally disagree, is Carson Wentz. I think if you add Carson Wentz on the Indianapolis, you put him back with Frank Wright, maybe it could click something in him that wasn't working these last few years without him.
I'm not mad at that because I'm not 100% out on Carson Wentz yet. I'm like 95% done with Carson Wentz, but there's still that little bit 5%. The problem is, if you're Indiana, Carson now has the worst contract in the NFL. Now, does Frank Wright believe in Carson that much to take on that bad deal? That is the question
Here's the thing. They got a bunch of cap space, like loads of cap space to where they can just put him in and it's not going to kill him. So if you don't have a quarterback, you could do a lot worse and you're not and you can get out of that. Like you don't have to restructure his contract. You're not guaranteeing him anything. Like, hey, give it a shot. The other quarterback, and this is one I've been thinking about because I don't know if he's going to stick with his team. I feel like his team might go in a rebuilding phase, which they should have been doing for a really long time, but it's going to depend on who comes in. I've been more and more thinking about Matthew Stafford as the quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers the last couple days.
I love that. And I'm going to tell you why I love that. Now, there's two players in our division I'm fans of. One, of course, is the guy, Devontae Adams. I love me some Devontae Adams. And Joe has been ducking this conversation for the last couple weeks because he's not been on this podcast.
You've been ducking and dodging. Next week, we could actually say you've been ducking and dodging me for about 3 weeks now.
Yeah, you've been ducking and
dodging. Watch that movie tomorrow. Shit.
Yeah, that conversation. But Devontae Adams is one. Matthew Stafford is number two. I think Matthew Stafford is the most underappreciated quarterback in the NFL. If he was not on the Detroit Lions, by the way, he took the Lions to the playoffs twice. You know, that's like damn near winning the Super Bowl with that fucking franchise. Mm-hmm. Him with the Steelers and that culture and Mike Tomlin and the receivers they got and that defense they got, I love it. I love it. I would do that shit in a heartbeat if I was Pittsburgh. And I think both situations make a lot of sense.
I'm watching Stafford post game talking about why he went into that game this week against the Titans. They got blown out. He was hurt. He didn't have no business playing. But, you know, he's talking like, hey, if there's a chance I can go out there and I can go to war with these dudes, I'm going to go to war with them. I'm playing. There's ain't no questions asked. I listen to him talk, man, and I want to see him on a team that's actually good. In a team that has that has championship material. I can't sit here and say that Matthew Stafford is this quarterback or that quarterback. Like, okay, is he one of the top quarterbacks in the league? No. Do I think he's trash? No.
No.
Do I think he's kind of a stat patter? Yes. But I think that's because Detroit's terrible.
Yeah, we've never seen him. Our nickname for him, Stat Patter. He's definitely a stat patter. We're not, like you said, Detroit is terrible. So after a while, what are you playing for besides stats?
Nothing. You're playing to get your stats up so you can appear to be a better quarterback than what your team has allowed you to be.
Exactly.
And what if you put him in a culture that allows him to be great and stop putting the onus on him? Like, he could be the quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers, and guess who's getting all attention? That dancing-ass nigga that can't stop TikToking. James Conner. TJ Watt. You got all these other dudes on Pittsburgh who can alleviate the attention off of you and just let you go out there and ball. I would love to see Stafford on the Steelers.
And even with the Wentz thing, I mean, we all know that Philip Rivers ain't it, dog. He's just not it.
Go home and finally be a family man.
That was $20 million wasted this year. And like I said, when he got signed, that was $20 million. That was $1 million for each interception.
It was $1 million for each child.
So that's pretty much what I meant with that. But I like both scenarios that you brought up.
Yeah. Buffalo Bills clinched their first AFC East title since 1995.
I do not like Josh Allen.
I know you don't like Josh Allen, but hey, he's balling. He's doing the number one thing that he is getting paid to do, and that's get the ball to Stephon Diggs.
I get it. I just don't like the guy, man. I don't like his stands. Like, I'm just hoping there's a little bit of hope that he crashes and burns come the playoffs.
Okay. That's a little bit of irrational hate, but hey.
No, and that's fine. He's coming into my hate circle right now. The people on the thrones of my hate circle. There's three. My top five hate circle of sports. We all know who's number one.
LeBron James.
LeBron James is firmly number one in my hate circle. Then you've got
who?
The Green Bay Packers is a franchise. Because I don't really hate Aaron Rodgers. If Aaron Rodgers played for any other franchise,
I hate Aaron Rodgers because he's kept happiness from my life.
Okay, but that's the Packers that I look at.
But Aaron Rodgers, I hate Brett Favre
way more than I hate Aaron Rodgers.
Listen, but okay, it's like this. You gotta look at the Packers as an army and Aaron Rodgers as General Robert E. Lee.
Oh, that's an excellent comparison.
Hey, you're still leading the troops into battle. So, you are correct, you're responsible for me not having happiness.
Okay, well, Aaron Rodgers, number two. Aaron Rodgers. Number three, I'm going to put another man who's brought me just as much pain as Aaron Rodgers. That's fucking Randall Cobb. I'm putting Randall Cobb in there.
I can't fucking stand Randall Cobb. You're right.
And then the other two, I've got to put Chris Conte and then Cody Parkey.
So you went four, like, LeBron and then just four football dudes.
I mean, football is my favorite sport, so it's going to be more of them. The White Sox have sucked majority of my life, so it's not really too many people I hate. They ain't been good enough.
I mean, I still hate AJ, but like not as much as I used to.
I mean, I wouldn't like AJ if he didn't play for my team either. AJ's in the
he's a dick.
The Joakim Noah, Draymond Green, or if they're not on your team, you hate that nigga. But if they're on your team, you love him. Of course, he's not.
I think Adam Eaton is not a good comparison.
He's not good at his field, his position as Draymond and Joakim are obviously.
Actually, I take that back because, like, AJ's probably – but people loved AJ in the locker room. They just hate him when they played against him. Adam Eaton is hated universally. So, take that back. I'm sorry. How the hell do we – oh, sorry. Do you want to guess what the number one song in America was the last time the Bills won a division? I'll give you a hint. It's from an R&B band.
White or black?
Black, of course they're black. R&B. What white R&B singers or bands do you know?
Hey, you got some white R&B niggas. Man.
Okay, yeah, John B. and Company.
I consider Backstreet Boys R&B.
Really?
They're pop, but they R&B. Them white boys had soul, man.
Listen, just because NSYNC had Gone on 106.
No, apart, okay, don't I don't think R&B. NSYNC's R&B, though.
So, okay, never mind.
I can see
why you would say Backstreet Boys and not NSYNC.
NSYNC was way more poppy to me. Like, it was just, like, sometimes Backstreet Boys, some of them would sing, and I'd have to double take, oh, this nigga black? Like, them white boys had soul. If you didn't look at them, if you just listened to their voice, it could throw you off if you're not really paying attention.
Okay. I'm when we're done with this, I'm gonna put some larger than life on the sounds, and we're gonna see.
Look, I forgot what I saw. Somebody tweeted out, like, I think it was our man Hakuna Makanda on Twitter, who tweeted like a Backstreet Boys song. So I played it. Before you know it, nigga, I just started playing jams off this. I'm like, yeah, these niggas cold. I forgot how cold they was.
The late 90s pop era was so, so goddamn underrated. And yes. I hate that it took me until I got to an adult to appreciate the greatness of Britney Spears, or Britney Jean Spears. That bitch was literally the coldest person in music for like a good two years.
Like, she made Justin Timberlake hot. It wasn't the other way around.
Dead ass. And Justin just leapfrogged when he left.
Justin took that baton and kept fucking running with it. Kept fucking running with it. But this is the song. That's actually a topic I might bring up on our 50th episode of Summer Session next week.
Yeah. So the answer is On Bended Knee. By Boyz II Men.
Is that Boyz II Men?
Yeah.
I knew it was one of the What Would You Do If I Kiss You Right Now ass songs.
Exactly.
That's the thing. I like some Boyz II Men joints. They got some joints I fuck with. You know, Pass You By is one of my favorite songs, but they do make Do You Like Me, Yes, No, Maybe joints. Like,
exactly. Sure. Hey, I got another topic I want to broach with you. Because I'm listening to Lawrence Holmes on 670 the earlier today. And he had Dan Durkin on. Dan Durkin was giving his top five, and his top five was just all over the place. I ain't here to roast his top five, but I am here because I guess he was having a conversation with Jason Goff. He said, but obviously nobody's beaten Hov in a versus.
There's a couple that not but, couple. I only think there's one that could come close.
But not even coming close. Who's gonna give him some competition? Who's his best competition?
I think in a versus setting, 20 songs, Drake can give him competition.
Yes. Drake was one of them. Like, Kanye was another who was discussed.
Hov will win, but it's definitely going to be a 12 to 8, 13, 7.
Kanye is going to give him some run.
Kanye can give him some run if he stays in his lane and doesn't think all his shit is fire. Right. If he stays in the first...
Four albums.
Stays from College Dropout to My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy era, yes. If he plays anything after that, swear it gets
shaped. No Cruel Summer. Like, you can do the good music.
And get the type of nigga who thinks his new shit is just as good as his old shit and start playing shit that we ain't never heard before.
Shit, he might go back to Freshman Adjustment, do some, like, old cuts. Yeah. There was
Drake and Hove is like talking about LeBron and Michael Jordan. We'll never see it happen.
Kobe and Mike.
One, okay. Hove's never doing I think Drake would do it. Hove's not doing it because that shit's not on title.
It's not, yeah. It's not for him. Another name that was thrown out there that I've been considering. Just like, okay, he might give him a 13-7, but it'd be a really interesting 13-7. It's LL Cool J.
LL has one of the most underrated bodies of work.
Yes.
I like how we just went from football to music. And you can see that we have diversity on this podcast.
We really do.
I don't know who he would beat, but he has a nice catalog. And also for younger generation, are they going to give a fuck?
I don't, but like, okay. Some of these, like, is not necessarily to like we're not going to force young people to give a fuck. Of course you put Jay-Z on there with the nigga from NCIS LA. I think people gonna watch, but like I can't say In the House because like that's a little bit too dated for the folks. Y'all remember In the House?
In the House, underrated black sitcom.
Better, way better than Family Matters. But like, actually, second best show with Alfonso Ribeiro because he was
now. Maybe show. My memory deceives me, but didn't Will Smith make a cameo on In the House?
I feel like he did. And he made a fresh
cousin on one episode.
I feel like he did, and he made a Fresh Prince reference.
Yeah,
I gotta go back and think about it because like it's hazy, but I feel like he did.
Like I can't find it on the internet, but in my head, I feel like I saw that.
I feel like he did, but I'll look it up in a second. But I think the whole thing of the verse is like, first off, people gonna watch because of Jay-Z. And LL, like you just said, has one of the most underrated catalogs. I think like that's a big boost to people who never really listened to LL. And like how I remember a point in time where LL was one of the top three, maybe four biggest rappers.
Yeah, man, LL is Drake's father. Let's just be 100% clear about that.
The dirtiest of Mackers. Like he birthed a whole era of niggas.
Yes.
For better or worse, I don't know.
For better or worse.
But yeah, that was a good topic that I heard earlier today. I want to throw
as we're out recording this, the Clippers are clipping.
Yeah, they've been clipping for a while, dog.
They had 2 points in the second quarter.
Like legit.
Legit, that can't happen.
Oh, okay. Oh shit. Off of that trash ass shit.
Did we talk about did we actually go in depth on the Eagles Cardinals game? I feel like we kind of skipped over.
Do you want to?
Yes, because this is the thing I want to talk about. We were talking about Carson. I really like what I see from Jalen. Jalen showed
he's
me
got some. In that game. He's got some
he's
raw
got
shit
something.
Though.
I don't know how much of it's going to last. Obviously, because I always with young quarterbacks, you got to really give them time. I truly feel like unless you have an odd situation, not an odd situation, but a rare situation like Patrick Mahomes. When you knew he was that nigga, asexual, it takes a couple years before you know what you got in the young quarterback. Just look at Carson Wentz. 3 years ago, he was the number one MVP candidate. Now, we don't know what this nigga's next going to be playing football at again. So it's like, I want to wait by. He really showed me something in that, man. And Kyler has ways of pissing me off. Kyler will play a game, he's just trash.
I told y'all a couple weeks ago, he had a heat
check. And then he just fantastic. Like, he was trash and good in this game. Like, don't let the numbers fool you. He was throwing some bullshit in this game.
Yeah.
Almost gave it up. Really, you got to salute that Cardinals defense, because that defense shut down Jalen and that offensive line on that second to last possession where they could have tied it. And what's their tight end? Goddard? He got to catch that fucking ball. Was on 3rd and 21. He had it. It was a perfect, perfect ball. It was right in his bread basket. You got to catch that, man. So I like what I saw from Jay. It was a nice black quarterback battle.
You found you one.
Okay, here we go.
And he's a Q. So it's like, he's doubly black. He's in a frat. You know how to make the oil.
What would white people say? He was saluting Gene Simmons or like that?
Yeah, I was like, the whites are at it again. Yeah, man. I think there's some raw talent in Jalen Hurts that if the Eagles are smart and they're able to tap into it, he could be a pretty decent quarterback. You know, hey, might have trashed him, but hey, he's adapting to the program well. Now he has to adapt to teams adapting to him and continue to get better. And it's going to be a good challenge for him at the end of this year because you got the Cowboys in the game that matters and you're going to get the Redskins in the game that matters. Two teams that aren't good and the Eagles still have playoff hopes, as wild as that is. So, you know, he's going to get some valuable work at the end of this year for sure. Just a matter of him finally putting it together. Elsewhere, before we move on to week 16, I don't want to trash him too much simply because he did it again to the city of Atlanta. But the Bucs as a team didn't look very good in the first half on Sunday against the Falcons. It's just that they finally realized that they were the better team and were able to come out and get the win.
There's something about the Bucs that's just, I hate to say it. I really hate to say it because it's Tom Brady. And also in the playoffs, Tom Brady can do what he wants. It's something that bothers me about this offense. And I don't 100% feel like it's just because Brady's getting older. I don't like what the fuck Bruce Arians be calling. For somebody who's just held as, oh, he's so great offensively, these are the most picks Brady's had in a long time. Do you notice that the trend of quarterbacks who are under Bruce Arians throw a lot of picks? Like, there's something about that. There's too many weapons for them to be just not blowing niggas out. Their defense is solid. I don't get it.
I give him this. Ronald Jones is on the COVID list, so he missed. Leonard Fournette's garbage. And Sunday's even more proof he's garbage. 14 carries, 49 yards, 3.5 yards per carry. He got the two touchdowns. The two touchdowns are totally mirroring the fact that he's not running the fucking football well. And they're not able to run the football well unless they give the ball to Ronald Jones. But when he's not on the COVID list, they barely do that.
I mean, but even when he wasn't on the COVID list, he wasn't getting the ball.
That's what I'm saying. Okay. Is even when he wasn't on COVID list, he was healthy and out there playing. They weren't giving him the ball. And the irony is, when they were forced to not give Leonard Fournette the ball, Tom Brady this time was balling.
Yeah.
And that's really just because the Falcons are that trash.
Atlanta, how much do you hate Tom Brady?
Ooh, that might be the most hated person to play against Atlanta sports teams.
Has to be.
I think the most hated athlete in Atlanta is John Rocker. Okay. But he actually played for the Braves.
Right.
Opponent might be Tom Brady.
Yeah, man. But that's the thing that intrigues me about the NFC playoffs this year, because I just don't think there's a favor. I could definitely, as such as they look right now, I could see Buccaneers going on a little run. I don't know why they couldn't be. So it's like, it's so intriguing. I don't know who the fuck. And the AFC is by far the Chiefs. Like, I don't, they might be a couple teams to be able to pinch the bitch, but it's, you know.
How weird is it that, like, okay, yeah, we're certain that the AFC is the better team, but we are also all certain that the Chiefs are going to be the ones to come out of the AFC. We don't know who's coming out of the NFC, but we're all sure that the NFC is one in a possible.
Yes, it's the new Patriots syndrome. I think the Chiefs are trying to build themselves up with the new Patriots. If you're Andy Reid, you gotta be feeling giddy because now you can stat pad. You got that one ring out. You know what I'm saying? That was the only thing missing from his resume. You can stat pad now. You know what I'm saying? So later on, you go, all right, nigga, check the credits. You know what I'm saying? When as far as comparing him to other legendary coaches. So, you know, like I said, the only person who's going to beat Patrick Mahomes is a white woman who eventually turns on him.
He's going to hit the Seth Rollins chair shot in the back.
That's it. The Marty Jannetty kick to the face. That's it. Shawn Michaels kicked Marty Jannetty. Wrestling Twitter don't get on my head for that.
It was me, Austin!
Yeah. Exactly. So, yeah, that's just how I feel about the Bucks, man. I feel like they should be a little bit better than what they are. And I like how they finally got AB involved a little bit more this week. I like seeing that. I think when they get to the playoffs, he's going to be a little more involved. But I do think they're going to finish off the season. They're quietly going to finish 11-5, in my opinion. If you look at the last two games, I don't think they're going to lose them. They played Detroit on Saturday.
Yuck.
You know. I think they'll win that.
In Detroit?
That is a good question. I don't know. I know it's the first game on Saturday. Saturday, we got three games on the schedule.
I know a lot of people are going to be waking up from their nap on a Saturday thinking, oh, I slept through Bucks-Lions. Why isn't there still a game on NFL Network? Why can't I see Niners-Cardinals? That's going to be on Amazon Prime. So if you don't got Amazon Prime, you kind of shit out of luck. But, yeah, just so you can remember, because I know a lot of people are probably going to be wondering where the fuck the game at. I guess I could talk about this when we talk about week 16, so I'm not even going to broach it yet. I think that's pretty much it, unless you got anything to say about the Seahawks.
If I was a Seahawks fan, I told you, the Seahawks are the opposite of the Bears.
I work with a Seahawks fan, and he's so checked out. They're 10-4 and in the lead for the division.
But they're the most uninspiring 10-4 team in football. Yeah. Like, we know Russ and DK are going to put up a show.
We don't know how
that defense is going to negate all of that shit.
And the defense, like, okay, they held them to 15 points. So, I guess in theory, they performed. But, like, they don't inspire any kind of hope that defense is a Super Bowl contending defense. And I think that plus Russ been making some dumbass decisions lately, maybe trying to do too much in an effort to mitigate that defense being so bad. Like, they're not clicking, and they should be. I think, like, we look at the Seahawks and say, yo, that should be a team that should be, if not the best team in the NFC, second best. What's going on? What's not meshing? And yeah, them niggas are ugly. Let's start with week 16. We got a wonderful slate of fucking sports on Christmas.
This is
I get 5 games of basketball all day. And you get to sprinkle some football in that bitch too.
Sprinkle a little bit. Look, this is like, I did not enjoy Thanksgiving last month because it was my first holiday.
Yeah, 2 games and they were terrible.
And it had 2 games. I couldn't even take my mind off it. I forget it's Christmas in a couple days. Nigga, like, I'm just hyped by the games. We got NBA basketball's back. And everybody know NBA is my third favorite sport. I'm a huge football fan, baseball second. But in a pandemic, when you're in a quarantine and you have something to watch every night, you wake up with something to look forward to, that's good. We got NBA all day on Christmas. We got 5 basketball games, and we got a good football game on tap. Saturday, we got 3 football games, and of course, Sunday is the regular schedule.
You got 4 straight days of football. You got 4 bowl games in there, too. It's wonderful. And, like, Christmas Day, actually three.
Thursday, there's no sports on Thursday.
Four straight days, and Monday night game.
Oh, I forgot about Monday night. Monday night schedule's not on. Who play on Monday night? Well, we'll go to the schedule.
Yeah, Bills and Patriots is the Monday night game, by the way. Christmas Day is always my favorite day on the sports schedule. I think that's a better holiday than Thanksgiving football to me. It's something about Christmas. It's something about waking up on Christmas and watching Christmas Day basketball. It's
by far.
It's a feel good for me. So, but we get some football in that sprinkled in there. The Saints are in the dome. They host the Minnesota Vikings. Saints are still fighting for something, even though I don't think they'll get it. But, yeah, we know what the Vikings are. They're 7-9, 6-10 team.
Yeah, but they'll make it competitive. Vikings ain't a team; they just get their ass kicked. They'll make it competitive with Drew Brees and his ability to not even be able to breathe right now.
I think if they're smart, they run the fucking football.
That's not a bad option. It's not a bad. Keep running. Give it to Alvin Kamara.
Look at the way David Montgomery tore up this defense just a week ago. Kamara and Latavius Murray should be running down Minnesota's throats on Christmas.
Alvin Kamara shut me up, too. I didn't think he was going to be this great without Mark Ingram. So, look at me. The idiot.
I mean, Mark Ingram, Latavius Murray, they interchangeable. I'll be real with you.
I feel like even with Latavius Murray, he's still carrying majority of the load. When Ingram was
it was there, more half like and half with Ingram.
50-50. Yeah, right, pretty much 50-50.
Right, but like it was gonna trend that it was gonna trend to how it is anyway. Mark Ingram wasn't getting more than half of the snaps as long as Kamara was growing and getting better because it was undeniable. Latavius Murray is a career number 2 back, right? Like he's solid. He gonna get you some good yards, But nah, your number one is Alvin Kamara. I think J.K. Dobbins is going to wind up being the number one guy of Ingram not too long. I'm not saying that like Dobbins is that nigga. Super I just think nice, Dobbins is right. decent.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, Saints Vikings.
Going to pick the Saints in this one. I do. If anything that I get out of this season for the Bears, even if we don't make the playoffs, ending the Minnesota Vikings season to me is a very close second for me. It's a good
wrap up second place in the division.
Yeah, but what's the word I'm looking for? It's a good consolation prize for eliminating the Minnesota Vikings.
It's a trophy.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, to get them out of there. You know what I'm saying? So I appreciate that.
Speaking of trophies, did you see Tom Brady's Twitter?
Perfectly executed.
That was wonderful.
He had two great tweets this week. There was another tweet where somebody said, oh, if you're an Atlanta Falcon fan, you see Tom Brady in this position, just run. He tweeted like a gift that had like an evil laugh in it.
Oh, Dwight. Brady, yeah, that's the one with Dwight from The Office.
Tom Brady's been really good in social media presence. I want to believe that's him picking those rap songs on his Instagram, and I'm going to convince myself that it is. They beat the Giants. I heard Pop Smoke on this shit. I want to believe that's him, so I'm going to keep it like that.
Tom Brady is definitely banging the new Playboy Cardi. You know?
Right.
Speaking of Tom Brady, Buccaneers are in Detroit to take on the Falcons. That is our first game, 10 a.m. Pacific time on Saturday, day after Christmas.
You did say they were playing the Falcons. They're playing the Lions. Not that big of a difference. The Lions are just the cold weather.
The Lions beat the Falcons. I mean, it was some fluky shit, but it's been the Falcons all year.
I'm going to pick the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, obviously. That's what I'm rolling with.
I mean, I feel like I know where you're going because we need it, but second game of the day is going to be 49ers in Arizona face the Cardinals. Are we all on Jimmy Garoppolo's train right now?
So Garoppolo got reactivated from the. Are we sure he's actually playing?
It's not 100% certainty. They could still try out Nick Mullins.
Okay, because they are eliminated from playoff contention.
Right.
They technically don't have anything to play for.
But they could also cut Garoppolo and then not have to fucking worry about him at all. So who cares?
This is also fucking true. Now, this is why it's interesting to me. Because they were never really in playoff contention. Like, let's be honest.
Nah.
They were never really in playoff contention. This is a team that still plays hard. Shanahan still coaches that team very well. I don't think they're going to lay down just because they got officially eliminated. They were eliminated when Bosa got out, to be completely fucking honest.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Bosa and what's his name went out on the same day. And it was done. Mostert, yeah. I think it was Mostert. They both went out on the same day. So yeah, once that happened, realistically, chance was done. They made that fake little run when they won a couple games in a row. But we all knew they was never really going to be a threat. But right. Hey, it's going to help that they get to play the Cardinals this week, and then I think the week after they play Seattle, and then they kind of could play a role in spoiling something for both of them.
And you always want to spoil shit for your division rival. Now is my next point. The Cardinals are not good enough to just assume that they're going to win. They were in a barn burner with a fucking NFC East team at home. At home. The thing about the Cardinals, they're bipolar. You don't know which Cardinal team you're getting every week. One week, they're hitting on all cylinders. Defense is looking good. Kyler Murray's looking great. He's actually throwing a nuke. And you got one week where they just look fucking terrible. So we don't know what they're going to get, and division games are hard. So I'm going to pick the Niners. And just because I feel like they're going to try to spoil it, and as a Bears fan, I need it. And then we'll know exactly what will happen. If the Niners win on Saturday, we know, okay, win this week.
You control your own destiny.
Is win week 17, and you are in. So it's a big, big game. Big, big game for the Bears and the Cardinals this weekend.
Yes, sir. And then the nightcap on Saturday. Miami Dolphins, who knocked out the New England Patriots, who for only the third time in this millennium, fourth time in this millennium that they'll miss the playoffs.
Ding dong, the witch is dead.
Camp was wild. The run is even wilder. But the Dolphins 9-5, they host the Raiders. If the Dolphins win, Sorry, if the Raiders got to win out and then hope both the Dolphins lose out and the Ravens lose out to even have hopes.
Are you still holding on to your Bears loss to Khalil Mack trade?
I think it's still possible. No, I'm not the only one. No, I'm not the only one who said that. Joel Ostrowski from 670 wound up saying the same thing that same
Considering
week.
Considering his employer, it's not really shocking.
I mean, kind of is, because 670 is owned by the same people that own CBS, which runs the Bears game. So they have an affiliation. It's not like he just, whatever.
We're not going to get in that debate. But this has stupid finish written all over it, because I feel like the Raiders have been a part of a lot of stupid finishes this year. That game last week against the Chargers, when I went back and watched it, was one of the dumbest games of the year. I think Miami's going to win.
Let's go to Sunday's slate, the early games. Best game on the early slate. Colts are in Pittsburgh to take on the Steelers. The battle of the washed quarterbacks. I don't even know what the total is. And I'm just going to say under. I'm going to say it's going to hit the under.
I don't know that particular question you're asking.
That's fine. That's fine. You don't gamble.
Yeah, I don't. I like my money. But I will pick. I think the Steelers are winners. I don't think they're going to free fall like that. Even though it would be very entertaining, and I would love a winner take all game for the AFC North against the Cleveland Browns. But I think Pittsburgh will win this game.
The Falcons are in Kansas City. Yep. Bengals, Texans.
That's funny.
Skip. But you know what, Skip?
Giants in Baltimore.
Shout out back to the Skip button being back. It's been gone for a couple weeks. You didn't miss Skip button.
Yeah, you needed it. Giants in Baltimore.
This is a big game for both teams. I think Baltimore's gonna win. I don't like Colt McCoy. I mean, I don't like Daniel.
He's Colt McCoy. Who the fuck likes Colt McCoy? Does Colt McCoy's mother even like Colt McCoy?
I don't like Daniel Dimes either, but he's a better quarterback than Colt McCoy, so I think it's gonna be a problem. And then I feel like the Ravens grabbed victory from the jaws of defeat in the shit game we covered last week. And I think that they're going to get one of those final playoff spots. So I'm going to pick the Ravens to win.
You know how old Colt McCoy is? And like, I can't even believe he's been around this long.
Every time I saw Colt McCoy, he was that nigga when he was coming out of college. I remember that.
His last game in college was Nick Saban's first championship at Alabama.
Wow.
The running back on that Alabama team we just talked about, Mark Ingram, he was the Heisman that year. Like, I can't believe Colt McCoy is still here, still around, because that nigga's been trash at every stop he's been at. He was in Washington for the last 5 years. Did you know that?
I did not know.
How the fuck was this nigga in Washington for 5 years, as trash as he is? Being a backup quarterback is seriously the greatest job in the universe.
It's the best job in America. That's why I'm like, oh, I feel bad for Mitch. I don't. He finna get paid good money to be a career backup. You think all the money and none of the pressure.
You think
you win the championship, you get a ring.
You think we feel bad if Tyrod Taylor get a little syringe close to the lung, too close to the lung? I mean, yeah, but like, I don't feel bad you lost a job.
Tyrod Taylor is a Super Bowl champion for being Joe Flacco's backup. People forget that.
He was Joe Flacco's backup.
Yeah.
I forgot about that. Yeah, no, he's straight. He's straight, man. Very good. The Browns are in MetLife to face the Jets. I think a win would clinch the playoffs.
Chops had the playoff scenarios written down. You know, he's our Browns guy, so I have to check in with him. Not 100% sure, but I do think the Browns will win this game.
I feel like the Jets can't do it 2 weeks in a row. There's no way they could do it 2 weeks in a row. So they gotta win this one. Or they gotta lose this one. Let's go to Washington, where the football team hosts Carolina.
Football team's gonna win that.
I think they're gonna win the division. Sorry as it is. 7-9, 8-8, don't matter.
That was my pick. That was my pick, Washington, so I'm sticking with them.
Yeah. It'd be weird if, because I don't know what the status of Alex Smith is, so.
Yes, and Haskin out here going to strip clubs.
Oh, Lord. No mask. See, look, yeah, that's what you got to understand. That Dwayne did Haskins, happen.
Dwayne Haskins, listen to me and listen to me good. You're already fucking trash. You can't be trash in a rule breaker. James Harden can get away with going to strip clubs and shit. He's fucking James Harden.
It's also a different sport in the NBA where that shit's a little bit more lax. The NFL is a plan. The NFL is like a plantation. The first nigga to get out of line, you out.
I'm gonna compare him to somebody else. Now, granted, this player is much better at the craft than Dwayne Haskins is. Let's just get that out the way right now. Let's just say Isaiah Thomas, who for some reason has been in and out of the league. He gets a chance with another team. He decides to go to a strip club, massless. They cutting his ass. So Dwayne Haskins can't be doing shit that he's not good enough to be getting away with. James Harden get away with that shit because he's a fucking MVP. So Dwayne Haskins, what the fuck are you doing? So yeah, that's very important. I don't even know who the football team's third string quarterback is. So it's gonna be really interesting to see if Alex Smith is gonna be ready because Dwayne Haskins is not gonna go out there.
I hadn't realized that.
It's gonna suck.
I hadn't realized that Isaiah Thomas still hadn't signed with a team. Did he play last year?
Nope.
He didn't. He wasn't in. Damn,
he hasn't played since 2018, if I'm not mistaken.
He was on a team in 2019.
Who was he on?
I felt like he was on Utah in 2019.
No, he was definitely not on Utah.
I gotta look that up.
I think his last team was either Washington or the Lakers.
I think it was Washington after the Lakers. Okay. It was on Washington 2019 to 2020. Sorry, he was actually in Denver. I said Utah. I thought it was Denver. His last time he played was probably around in February. He was traded to the Clippers, and then the Clippers cut him 2 days later. But he started 39 games last year for Washington. So yeah, I didn't realize that he. Well, yeah, because I guess he only played 12 games in 2019, and then 2020 was so short. So yeah, it really had been that long since we. Shit, he had that 1 year and. Don't nobody want to see him play. That's wild. Broncos Chargers. I'm just gonna go ahead and we don't need to see Anthony.
Oh, whoa, skip.
Wasting my goddamn time. I almost punched my goddamn television last Thursday because I had to watch Anthony Lynn after his kicker already missed a fucking field goal.
You chose to do that. I bowed out.
I had to watch him after he already fucking missed a fucking field goal. Run the goddamn clock out so his kicker kick another field goal and miss it.
I'm all for black men keeping their jobs. But Anthony Lynn he's
pushing. Listen, there's two types of black men. There's black men who I want to see keep their jobs, Mike Tomlin, you know, them type of cats. And then there's black people I don't want to keep their jobs. Marvin Lewis. He is in the Marvin Lewis range.
Marvin Lewis and Hugh Jackson.
And Hugh Jackson, yes. It's elite company to be in.
Who was on I Am Athlete talking like he was Bill Belichick.
Oh my goodness. Get the fuck out of here, dog. Get the fuck out of here. You were offensive coordinator of the Bengals who didn't win a single goddamn playoff game.
You were trash.
Terrible. You won 3 games in 3 years talking about, oh, I got fired. It was bullshit. Bullshit. Your claim to fame is that you led Andy Dalton to the playoffs. That's your claim to fame, bro. Stop it. He is sad. This will probably be the biggest game in the night window. Rams and Seahawks. I think this is
another big game for the Bears.
I think this is, yeah, this is another big game for the Bears. Because
if the Rams lose this game, I could see McVay maybe not playing starters in that final game against the Cardinals.
If the Rams lose this game?
If the Rams lose this game, because if they win, next week they play for the division. I don't think they can get any higher seed-wise.
I think they still be playing for a playoff spot. What? They don't have the playoffs locked up.
Okay. Well, I take that back. Okay, but even if they beat Seattle, then next week is for the division. If they beat Arizona, they win the division. So it'd be even more stakes on the line.
But I feel like you.
Sean McVay, you but I, yeah, I feel like. Jets.
Hold on. Hold on. But don't you want the Rams to play their guys against the Cardinals?
No, I do. That's what I'm saying.
So wouldn't you want them to beat Seattle?
That's okay. Maybe I didn't word it the right way. I want the Rams to win.
Okay.
I want the Rams to win because I'm saying if they lose, Seattle clinches the division.
Right. Rams probably still be fighting for a wild card. Like I think either way.
So there's
like,
no scenario where the Rams can clinch a playoff spot this week, is it?
I mean, they could probably clinch a play. I think they would clinch a playoff spot, but they still would be able to fight for the division week 17. If they lose, they're still fighting for a wild card.
Gotcha. Okay.
They would only lock up a wild card if, say, the Bears lose or the gotcha. Yeah, I think the Bears would be the only.
So either way, they should be playing for something against the Cardinals week 17.
Right.
Okay, I have a question for you. This real quick. Because we had this debate on Twitter when it comes to the Bears. Let's just assume that the Bears are going to be the Jacksonville Jaguars. Because I've seen a lot of Bear shit in my life. But that's even some shit that I can't even fucking see. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's, especially if they play a Thursday.
That's worse than losing to the Texans week 17 when you have a playoff spot in the line.
Yeah, I just don't see it. So, let's just assume that we win in week 17 against the Packers is going to be very important. If you're Green Bay and you already have the number one seed locked up, do you rest your guys? Because you're already going to have a week off. Do you want them to be inactive that long? Or do you go for it and say, fuck the Bears, we're going to try to get them niggas out of here? It's a very interesting question. Now,
Ask that one more time.
If you're the Packers, right? Let's just say that the Packers win this week and they clinch the number one seed. So let's say you have the number one seed clinched. So you're automatically going to have wild card weekend off. So week 17, do you leave Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay? Let him rest up, or do you let him play for a little because you don't want too much time with him not playing?
So,
and go for the kill.
So my only worry is that Aaron Rodgers still wants to play for an MVP. An MVP is going to be in range unless he has a so-so game.
Race right now.
Unless he has a so-so game and Mahomes just goes crazy on Saturday, then he'll still have a shot. So my worry is he's going to want to play week 17 regardless. But should they rest their starters? Yes. And the only reason I'm not gonna say no is because I know what people are thinking. 2010, Lovey resting some guys and taking some plays off week 17 against the Packers and giving the Packers a chance to make the playoffs. I know people are thinking that, but those are much different cases. The one difference, quarterback. They had Aaron Rodgers. We have Mitch Trubisky. I think the Packers are a little bit comfortable knowing, hey, if the Bears make the playoffs, at least we're playing Mitch Trubisky.
Right. We not worried about the niggas.
Right. So at least that's my hope to kind of sneak up on, you know?
That's my hope. But you bring up a good point about the MVP that I didn't think about. And we already know that Aaron Rodgers is a petty nigga. And Aaron Rodgers,
He wants number three. He said he wants number three.
He wants number three. He wants it too, because even, I don't know if you watch his interviews on Pat McAfee. Now, I don't watch it all the time, but I see it on my YouTube feed. But he did say one quote that somebody tweeted onto my timeline. You know how Mahomes does a no-look passes? And he's like, yeah, because he's the first person to ever do that and, like, rolled his eyes. He's not letting certain shit go. So he might be on some petty shit. Now, if I'm LaFleur, we already clinched. Yo, all y'all sitting. We got home field. When the last time the Packers have had home field. Like, it's been a long time.
Yeah.
These niggas have had number one seed.
I don't think they've had a home field. The last time they had a home field, they lost to the Giants.
They were like 14-2 when they lost to the Giants.
Right.
Like 14-2. So, you got that. I wouldn't want to risk injury. Also, in today's age, I don't want to risk COVID 2 weeks before the fucking playoffs. So, there's a lot of stuff that's going to be going around these next 2 weeks is really going. I'm just excited to build.
I didn't think about resting guys. I mean, yeah, but you also have to, like, drill into people's heads that, you know, we're in the playoffs. We can't be having, you know, people fucking up protocol. Like, it's going to take more than just not playing players. But I didn't think about that. That's a good point. Yeah, a lot's going to go into that. So that's interesting. That's really interesting. This is a playoff eliminator, the Philadelphia Eagles against the Dallas Cowboys.
That's this week?
That's this week, yes.
It's going to be a good fucking game.
No, it won't be.
It's going to be a good game. It's NFC East. It's going to be entertaining.
Yeah, if that's your definition of good, then cool. I thought the Attitude Era was good.
relax.
That was for you, all you Attitude Era haters.
Yeah.
Answer is not good. It's bad wrestling. One fucking point. Anyway, yeah. Should be entertainingly terrible.
I'm going to say the Eagles.
You know what segment this is from the Attitude Era? The NFC East. Do you remember the Oddities? They were like the circus group. They used to have Kurgan, the big motherfucker with the tie-dye shirt. They used to have Golga, who used to come out with the fucking Cartman doll. And they were were the weirdo niggas.
Okay.
That's the NFC East. If football was the Attitude Era, that would be the NFC East. Yeah. You said the Cowboys?
No, I said the Eagles.
Okay. Okay. Riding with the black quarterbacks, but you won't ride with the ginger quarterbacks? Is that what it is?
I don't like
the Do you hate ginger quarterbacks now?
I just don't fuck with the red rifle. He's like a school shooter.
He really does.
Look like, remember the episode of Entourage, the nigga who they thought stole Vince's underwear? He's on a press at the porn shop? Andy Dalton look like that nigga.
Exactly. I also saw you like complaining that people didn't think that the Entourage movie was good. And I want to know what part of the Entourage movie did you think was like critically good?
It was a good movie.
Critically, it was an Entourage episode.
Look, the bigger question is, what the fuck did y'all expect from a TV show movie?
But that's the point. It's like
Entourage is some deep drama TV show.
I think that's the. But
it's
that's
basically a modern day sitcom. All okay, you're missing is a crowd.
Okay, but that's the point. Is like it was never meant to be a good movie. It's like Coming to America. Like we know it's not going to be good, but we're here. The new one, yes, Coming to America. We know it's not going to be good, but we're gonna watch it regardless.
I hate that title.
Well, yeah, it's
that should be a working title.
It's sequel-y as hell, but yeah.
It was a 2-hour version of the TV show to me. The only problem I really had, I felt like it was maybe too cameo heavy. I didn't really like Billy Bob Thornton. Not really Billy Bob Thornton. What's the nigga? Haley Joel Osment, whatever that nigga name is.
Oh, that's right. Haley Joel Osment wasn't.
I didn't really like his character. But
I hated Haley Joel Osment.
For you to end the Entourage saga with drama finally getting an award, that made up for all the problems I had with the movie. That was the perfect ending.
I understand the point with that. It was like, yeah, that is how you end the show.
But I've also grown to love the Seinfeld finale. So take that with a grain of salt.
Yeah, he's a lover of polarizing finales.
I just try to see the other sides of. I hate the Sopranos finale, and I will never like the Sopranos finale. I don't give a fuck how many times David Chase.
Stop.
Try to explain that bullshit. I deserve to see that nigga's brain in that bowl of fucking onion rings. I deserve that shit.
Oh god. Sunday Night Football on NBC. Titans and the Packers.
Mm.
That is Packers going to be a really good game.
Packers gonna win, but it's gonna be a good game.
I think we're praying that the Packers win.
Oh yes, for sure. For the first time in my life. Please.
Booby Miles, I am very. Oh, by the way, he did it again.
He always does.
He just be sunning niggas on the football field.
He's a man amongst boys.
Man child. Okay, if Kyler Murray is man, then what is Derrick Henry?
Man child.
But, like, okay, what. Maybe I'm just blanking on it, but what's the nickname that we give to every big nigga in the hood?
That's a good question.
Every absurdly big, strong, John Henry looking ass nigga in the hood.
Sometimes we call nigga Debo by the phone.
Yeah. Rest in peace, man.
Rest in peace, Debo, man.
Rest in peace, Debo. You're going with the Packers. Monday Night Football, Bills, Patriots.
Bills. Bills are going to tap dance over the Patriots, great. To let them know this is our block now.
Can we revisit something? Remember Benvin offseason when the three choices were Cam Newton, Andy Dalton, and Nick Foles?
Yeah.
Do you think the Bears made the best choice of the three?
All three of them suck.
But do you think the Bears make the best choice of the three?
I mean, I guess.
They did.
He was the most productive out of the three, so I guess.
That's the sad thing, because they still made the best
like
trade.
Kind of got a good point, yeah.
I hate that. Oh, my God. Oh, man. We'll be back next week to talk about all the crazy scenarios going on in Week 17. We wish you a happy, healthy holiday season. Merry Christmas. Happy Kwanzaa. Enjoy your superpowers. You can follow me on Twitter at Cameron Santo. Scott is at Barbershare Scott. When Flows gets his ass back on here, you can follow him at Flows and Lenny. He won't be in Jacksonville this Sunday, but he will be at Soldier Field next Sunday for the big finale. You guys can listen to Seven Night the Hallis to do the preview pod this weekend. If you want to catch up, it is Christmas. I should have figured that.
It's the fucking Jaguars.
So I'm not fair point.
There probably won't be a preview podcast this week.
Very fair point. But win or lose, these guys will have a recap for you.
Yeah, we will have a recap
afterwards.
We got one more episode of Summer Sessions for the year before we want a 2-week hiatus. And then outside of that, I'm only doing 79. How long the Bears season last? A 2-minute drill. Then everybody can get off my back.
Well, you got balled on live, right?
Yeah, we're not starting that till mid-January, so we got enough shit to talk about after a couple weeks.
Oh, yeah, it's a good point. Very good point. Yeah, man, subscribe to the Patreon. $10 gets you everything, gets you all the special Summer Sessions episodes where these dudes are wilding. But $10 goes a long way and it makes us very happy. And keeps the support rolling. Subscribe to us on Apple Music, Spotify, everywhere. Rate us 5 stars, leave a review. That matters so much, is why I bring it up. We're going into 2021. We trying to keep building and growing, and you guys rating and reviewing us gets our eyes onto more people and continues the growth of the brand. So if you fuck with us, if you enjoy everything that we've done, we're coming up on year 3 and we're coming up on beginning year 4, I should say, coming up on 3-year anniversary. But we still trying to, you know, make it up and up. So please do us that one favor. Go rate us and review. Subscribe and keep supporting us, man. We really do appreciate all of it. It's gonna be a good week of football, good week of sports. I can't wait.
Enjoy your Christmas. Enjoy whoever you're spending Christmas with. I'll be spending Christmas with me, my bottle of Terramana tequila, aka the people's.
How is that? Because I was gonna go to the store and cop it.
It is good.
I was hesitant.
It's good.
You got the Reposado?
Yeah, I got the Reposado.
I'm gonna get the Reposado. I was thinking about it. Yeah, I was thinking about it.
I got it. They got it at the grocery store. But first I saw, shout out my nigga Rob guy. He had it first. He told me it was decent. And I saw Thomas had it. I was like, because I was trying to look for it. I didn't see it at Vons. Thomas was like, they had it at Ralph's. I didn't feel like going to Ralph's. So I was like, maybe I just order off Bevmo. I got off Bevmo for $30. It's smooth. It tastes good. It's one of them tequilas where you can get drunk quick. Because it doesn't really have like a strong taste to it. Like, really? Casamigos is still better, but Casamigos to me punches a little harder punch. But it's a nice little, I just want to drink and kick it type of tequila.
Okay. So the great one got one.
Yes. The people's tequila is solid.
Okay. Let's go. We got to pick that shit up and support my man. My broke ass man who won't shut up about them 7 funky ass dollars. Oh man, but yeah, man, we'll be back next week. Have a happy and safe holiday season. We'll see you guys later. This has been 2-Minute Drill. We are out.